Well, thanks for pushing me to do this. When I was trying to figure out a Dharma talk for this today, I was kind of going through a bunch of books and reading koans. And some of those koans are just a little too advanced for me. So I'm a fan of Ram Dass, and he was like kind of my first entree into the spiritual world. So I remembered him telling a story. In 1989, he just finished like a very long speaking tour, and he was visiting friends in New Mexico, and he was relaxing. And he was in a hot tub. He was lounging and having a great time, had a wonderful dinner, and a telegram arrived for him. Somebody brought out to him and said that the space was being held for him at the Rohatsu session, which what he said was like a very like austere Zen Buddhist retreat. That was like in Northern California. And he's in New Mexico. It's like 1,000 miles away. So Ram Dass is sitting there, you know, he's in a hot tub. He's with friends. He just had a great dinner. And he's thinking about the choice to attend this like notoriously trying, almost like sadomasochistic retreat. So he sat quiet. He took it all in, and then got out. He says, "I've been called somewhere." He washed, he packed, he headed to the airport, and the car ride to the mountain. His ego was like completely swollen with the decision to do this. You know, he imagined being greeted at the door at the temple, like, "Oh, Ram Dass, thank you for joining us." But he was, after he got off the plane, he took the car there. He was met by just a shaven man in a black robe, you know, no fanfare. And he was assigned a bunk in a shared bungalow. And he was said to be in the Zendo in 6 minutes. So Ram Dass, like, he rushes in and he meets the Roshi, and he's assigned a koan. And the Roshi basically says to him, "How do you know your Buddha nature through the sound of a pine tree?" So Ram Dass spends the first, few days sitting upright, you know, considering this koan for hour upon hour. There's walking meditations along the grounds, more sitting, and four times a day you're expected to go in and meet the Roshi. And you rehearse in your mind, what you're going to say to the Roshi. So you have to give an answer. So he comes up with an answer, and the Roshi goes, "Oh, doctor, I'm so disappointed." And he'd ring like a bell, and then he'd be taken out. And, Ram Dass is like just completely just deflated. He said it was brutal, you know. So this is 5 days long, this retreat. And finally on the fifth day, he's got it running a fever, and he's over it. And so he gets called in. He has to run along the grounds. It's cold to go meet the Roshi. He's like, "Oh, how do you know Buddha nature from the sound of a pine tree?" And at this point, Ram Dass, he doesn't give a shit. So he just says, like, "Good morning, Roshi. Let's cut the shit. Good morning." And Roshi says, says, "Now you're becoming beginning student of Zen." So, going back to that moment in the hot tub with friends where everything was beautiful and perfect, and yet there was a yearning for something so strong that Ram Dass was willing to put himself in that very challenging situation. Was that effort? I guess it was and it wasn't. Ram Dass equated it to like falling off a log. It's just like, it's just submitting to it. The Tao says that the truth waits for the eyes unclouded by longing. And the idea is that we don't hear the truth fully. We only hear the projections of our own desires. So hence we end up making decisions that aren't in harmony with the way of things, and the art of growth comes with how quickly that we can admit error. and move on. And not making mistakes. Ramdas was saying, he says, making decisions, when you make decisions from a certain frame of mind, that leads to a new moment. And in that new moment, you have to listen again and realize that this new moment suggests that the last decision that you just led there isn't consistent now with this one. So I guess the lesson was that if we strictly define ourselves as somebody, you know, it's very hard to be consistent. And the key seems to be to keep listening to the moment we're in and to be true to what we're hearing. And even though people around us may be unhappy with our inconsistency, but the idea is like that will be closer to the truth. That is what we can offer to ourselves and to the universe. That's all I got.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It wasn't my story.
Well told.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it reminds me of an experience that I had that was somewhat similar, in that I went to my first retreat with someone who was doing koans, Zen Master Wanji Dharma. He was my first experience with koan. It was here in Florida, and we all sat in this room. One by one, we would get up and go in. What's your original face before your mother was born? That was the koan. And I gave a very profound, wonderful answer. And he says, oh, now you're just being a smart ass, basically. And I had this interesting reaction because, and at first I felt my whole being kind of getting pissed off a little bit. Then I recognized what was happening. I just kind of dropped it. And I said, oh, my mother's a good enough answer. And his smiled and looked at me and went similar way. He said, now you're on the right track.
That's fine.
So being honest with ourselves, you know, really honest with ourselves, really recognizing where we're coming from in terms of our ego, you know, our idea of self, and recognizing it. That's the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what you were talking about towards the end here, is that moment. It's not the same as the last moment. So when you're identifying with that ego, that sense of self,
yeah,
that you've programmed, that you've created, then you're not seeing what needs to be said or done in this moment, because you're projecting from that place.
Well, if you think about it, just in the course of a single day, and I say this as a parent, you know, a big thing about being a parent seems to be consistency when you're raising children. You know, but that whole idea of being consistent is what kind of that sense of being consistent is the thing that seems to trip us up.
I don't think it's us that needs to be consistent. It's our actions. Isn't that one of the eightfold paths, right? Is right action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we ourselves, our ego needs to be correct or constant and consistent. It's that our actions need to be.
Yeah.
Just consistent, right actions, taking the next right step you're not sure about.
Thank you very much for leading the meeting today.
Thanks.
And it's good to see you. So I liked your story. And I related it, of course, to my own experience, what's going on with me today. And it was very appropriate for me. So moving to the Boston area, you know, it's been very challenging for me for a lot of reasons. But it's, to get back to your story, you know, I'm trying to see how I can be of help in the community that I'm living with. So that means to me that I have to be more receptive and attentive and let go of my own projection and what I think I should be doing, and just be present in the moment. And then I'll get my, it'll become apparent to me if I'm paying attention, what I'm supposed to do, how I can be helpful. So your story reminded me of how, you know, I keep coming in with my own, you know, agenda, my own ideas. And I do a lot better when I can just, you know, be here right now. So that's the challenge for me, to be that open and receptive, attuned to what's going on at any given moment. So thanks again for the your topic and your talk today.
Is anybody else? Any thoughts?
Well, I want to just thank you for doing this, giving me a break. And also, you know, it's just wonderful to get another view. And we'll keep doing this. And every once in a while, we'll bring somebody else in, ask somebody else to do this. And as Dan had said, and I think you experienced it, it's a good experience.
Yeah, it was great.
And it is kind of like going into the interview room with the Zen Master in a way, because you have to get real with yourself.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because when I was looking, I was going, like, let me find like a real doozy. something that's going to like really impress Will. Let me find something that's, you know,
knock us out.
Real, real ancient wisdom, you know. And then I was being like, you know, I was like, you. So I was like, let me be myself, and let me kind of, I was like, this is the world I come from. So let me see what if I can find. I was like, oh, here you go, perfect.
My daughter uses it, forgetting real. She uses the term authentic, which I like a lot.
Yeah,
me too.
I managed to write it down everywhere to be authentic.
Yeah,
it's a good term.
Yeah, effortlessly yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is hard. It's real hard.
Yeah, well, you're not unique in going through that process. And I think everyone who sits there goes through that process. I certainly have, where I thought, oh, I'm going to really impress them now with my knowledge, being really smart, you know. The wonderful humility of it is recognizing that you're representing something that's beyond yourself. It's like what Ross was talking about. How can I help? Is not really about you. It's not how can I help. Who's the I?
Yeah.
It's the process of getting out of the way and being real and authentic. So yeah.
And there was something when you were sitting here, I noticed where it was like, whereas I come in, I'm always kind of just taking. I just come and I take.
Oh.
Like I sit and you do the thing and I fit into it. And occasionally I say a little something funny, but to come here and then do you kind of, now you're giving back. And that was interesting. I was like, oh, and I felt extra kind of plugged in.
Yeah. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else?
In this tradition, I was trained in the Mahamudra tradition.
In what?
Mahamudra?
Yeah.
In this tradition, I noticed that the word mindful never comes up. Mm. And as you were talking, but to be mindful of certain things brings you back on track. And it brings me back to where I should be and not following impulses. So in this tradition, is mindful ever talked about?
Yeah, the problem with mindfulness is it's a label. It also brings up your projections of what's going on. So I only avoid it not because it's wrong, not because it's not the correct term, but because of all the things that it infers to someone's mind. And I prefer, you know, beginner's mind or what is this, rather than being mindful. And I'm afraid that we identify with it as it's part of us. And we shouldn't really identify with it. It's just a label.
Are you saying that the problem with the word mindfulness is that you're assigning, you're labeling the goal as opposed to the process? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you're not really involved in being mindful, you're involved in labeling it as being mindful.
Okay.
So it's like saying, I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. No, seeing is happening before I. Mm-hmm. The I comes after the seeing. Are we done? All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, everybody. Good job.